Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Thursday, the 24th of July. It is wonderful to have you all with us, and our job is to keep you with us for the full hour, if not beyond. That's our job.
Don't touch that dial.
Don't touch that dial. That's right. And so what we want you to do is become involved in the conversation. Write to us, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org, and we would love to hear what is on your mind regarding the topics that we talk about today. We have a lot to talk about, some really good issues. Judy will bring us up to date on some things that are happening in her neck of the woods. But we'll start off with... Well, we can talk about a bunch of things. Let's talk about the National Guard and perhaps going to the border. U.S. President Barack Obama has dispatched a government team to the Texas border with Mexico to assess whether National Guard troops can help deal with an influx of undocumented children from Central America. Officials from the Departments of Defense and Homeland Security are assessing conditions through today in the Rio Grande Valley Border Patrol sector to consider responses to a humanitarian crisis of unaccompanied children trying to cross the border. According to Sean Turner, a White House spokesman, the development was reported earlier by Reuters, and this came out late yesterday. So do we need the National Guard? Is the situation to that level? And that is the question we are asking.
Well, look, there are political aspects to this, so that one of the things that particularly the Republicans have been yelling is that we're not doing enough to guard the border. Now, if you are Barack Obama and you want to say, yes, we are, then you have to do things that will appear to be doing just that. And a good example would be sending the National Guard there, right? I mean, it would serve your political purposes, and it might actually work.
It's a photo op.
Yeah, what a hot potato.
It's a great photo.
And this thing doesn't seem to be dying down. And it also doesn't seem to be feeding into a larger debate about immigration. It seems to be detracting from it. I'm seeing a lot of talk about the border, but not a lot of talk about immigration in general, about whether people, whether we should have more people come into this country. This whole notion of, the United States is a place where immigrants come and prosper. I mean, that's not happening in this. It's all about National Guard troops at the border.
Well, Judy, let me just take you on a little bit about that. There is this other question as to whether or not, because you're right. I have a big picture, much of my kids gave me, of the boat my parents, anybody can get this now, the boat my parents came over, my father came over on with the manifest with his name on it. It's quite something. And that's what we call legal immigration. Then there's also illegal immigration. So that while my heart goes to these people and I understand exactly why they're coming and exactly what it means, and, if I had my way, I'd let them stay. But there is a sizable number of people in this country who think that either you have a border and you have rules or you don't. And so, that discussion has been there, too. What?
My concern about this whole issue, though, is that, and I know it's been brought up in some quarters, but not enough to my liking, and I don't know how the rest of you feel about it, but we're talking about children. And it seems like we're looking at an overall issue of immigration, but I'm mainly concerned about the safety of the kids.
I need to ask you. With that said, if you're concerned about the safety of the kids, does that mean that the country, because they're kids, should make provision to let them in?
I don't know if it necessarily. I don't know that it necessarily needs to let them in. I don't know enough about that particular part of the issue. What I'm worried about is as the article that I read from a moment ago, and it goes into some detail about this, these are unaccompanied children. And what on either side of that border is being done for the safety of those kids? And I think that we talk about immigration as an overall issue all the time, but if we're talking in this particular case about children, very, very young children, and if the National Guard can help in that regard, of in the safety of those kids, or whatever agency comes in to help in the safety of those kids, whether they come to this country or they go back to where they came from, at least if there is some control and some supervision, it seems to me that that should be our main goal. But that's, you know.
You know, there is, of course, the Republican response to this, which is that the reason that these kids are coming is because Barack Obama and others came up with a path to citizenship for kids who are here, and say, okay, and they are maintaining the critics that was an open invitation to shove your kids across the border.
But it was for kids who were here already, like in 2012.
Yes, it was, but still the key word were kids.
Well, sure, yeah. Sure. Yeah. And, you know, but it's just another, you know, pass the blame along and make Obama look like he's responsible for all of this. Where
you're right.
These folks
right.
don't want to do anything. They don't want to put any money behind the issue as the president has asked for. These kids are going to be shipped all over the country. You know, bringing the National Guard down is a great photo op and a great way to spin this. Oh, look, we're doing something.
As ticking off a lot of people in the National Guard who are going to have to go through something.
That's
else.
Right. But, you know, the Joe's right. We have to do something real about this. The fact that El Salvador, Guatemala, I think in Honduras, that the kids are coming from these three countries, and the living conditions, the standard of living, and the violence is so great there.
Some say the worst in the world.
Right. Yeah. That their parents are saying, go and risk your life to get out of here, because you do, making that trip. You know, it says something about our lack of ability to help these countries.
Okay, if you were king.
I were king of the forest.
What would you do?
If I were king of the forest, I would try, I mean, you know, it's going all the way back, but I would try to work with these governments and with NGOs and not-for-profits and people who actually care about
people
to make things better in those countries. And I take away working with the governments, because that's just not going to happen, and it's corruption-filled. But the NGOs, the Red Cross, other kind of humanitarian organizations, to go in there, give them the resources they need to make things better for the kids and their families.
Can I mention one thing that I think is interesting here, is that we know that there's somewhere between 11 and 12 million undocumented people in this country, primarily, I believe, Mexican. We have...
And our economy is built on them.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so you took the last
thing
I was going to say, and you did, but that's okay. I'm always willing to share.
Okay, and but I know now we're going to get some letters about, well, why don't we take care of the people that we have here?
Well,
and
yes, that's
true
the other
too.
Side of the story.
That's true. We have to do that too.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll move on to other issues, and we welcome your comments on this issue as well as those other issues. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Orange County Tourism in the scenic Hudson Valley, complete with Hudson River cruises, outlet malls, and an outdoor sculpture park on 500 acres. 845-615-3860 for trip planning. Capital Region Honda dealers offering new and pre-owned Hondas in New York, Vermont, and Massachusetts for the summer season. CapitalRegionHondaDealers.com. Capital Power, Albany, New York, dealer and installer of Kohler standby generator systems. CapitalStandbyPower.com. And Tanglewood, the summer home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra in the Berkshire Hills, presenting the BSO, the Tanglewood Festival Chorus, and guest vocalists in a performance of Mahler's Symphony No. 2, Resurrection. July 26th, Tanglewood.org.
Razorback, that's what I call love. I bet you pick.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel for this Thursday morning. We welcome your comments roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Judy Patrick, Libby Post, and we welcome your comments as well. And Alan has a few of those comments right now to read to us.
Okay, but before I do that, I want to make a personal comment, if I may.
Yes.
When you go to the dentist and he says, don't eat until the Novocaine wears off, he knows what he's talking about. Okay.
Now you look,
because now I have a fat face.
You have a fat lip.
Yeah.
Look like you've been clocked.
Yeah.
So this happened.
I ate my face.
Now yesterday you came in the meeting.
Sounds like a science fiction.
I
movie.
Ate my face. Yeah.
You came in. You came in to a meeting after the dentist yesterday, and you said, I know I shouldn't have eaten, but I was hungry, so I did eat. And then what apparently happened is that you ate your lip.
I ate my face. Yeah. I did. Mm-hmm.
So, and now you're feeling the consequences. Does it hurt?
Oh, it hurts.
Yeah.
And it's fat.
It looks like it hurts.
See, here this are fat.
It sounds like you got into a fight. You know, like you got into a fight with somebody clocked you.
Yeah. And I look like Sluggo a little bit. Yeah. Remember Sluggo from Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah.
Just don't watch the drooling, that's all.
And his speech is good, though. His speech is not impaired.
Oh, no.
It's because he always mumbles.
Okay. So Tracy says, seal the border and let the labor market raise wages based on supply and demand. Seems to me the significant fact is our improving economy. All right. You know, there was a point, Tracy makes a good point, that that people were going the other way. We found that a lot of the Mexican people, immigrants who came here, were going back to Mexico. Of course, so these things sort of come in waves. But I think the improving economy is a good point. So then Ryan says, we are the most powerful country in the world. There has to be a way we can take care of our people and help these kids. Thank you, Ryan. And Tracy, did we do that one? No. Tracy says, you may speak about the influx of children crossing the southern border. There are people offering to provide refuge. Iowa? How about New York State, where the Statue of Liberty implies that we are a place of refuge of impoverished people? In Schoharie County, there exists the former Shock Camp detention center, now sitting empty. Lots of barracks, beautiful, almost Catskill Hills. Can't we find a way to open the doors and our hearts to help these children? New Yorkers, step up. That's from Tracy. And then Emily says, hi, panel. I sent this email a week or so ago when you were talking about the same issue, but I sent it late in the program, so I'm not sure you got it. Have any of you ever heard of a book called Enrique's Journey, which I have not read but heard about on NPR? And then it goes on and on, so we want to, because it has to be just a few sentences here, folks. So we're going to say, everybody go online and find Enrique's Journal. Okay. And George says, Perry's purpose for sending the National Guard to the border is not about protecting children. It's about keeping them from entering the United States. Also, the Texas governor sending the National Guard in may be a usurpation of federal power and therefore illegal. And then Michael wrote in before, fairly long, I'll see what we can do here, in the discussion that I've heard on the roundtable and other media outlets regarding the recent shooting down of the Malaysian commercial airline, I find it rather ironic there is no mention of a similar incident in 1988 when the naval vessel USS Vincennes mistakenly shot down an Iranian commercial airline, resulting in the deaths of around 290 people. And I think, Joe, that's it.
Yeah, well, the only other one we got was from Michelle, who says, where has Rosemary Armijo been? And the answer to that question is, we don't know.
We're not allowed to know.
She goes on these projects. And,
internationally.
We know, yes. And so she's out of the country. She's doing great work. And we believe she'll be back at the end of August if all goes well.
Yeah.
And she's not
she
redirected
comes and goes.
By some
we
sort
get
of government
usually
agency.
About a 2-hour notice, and then she's on a plane.
So, but we miss her too, and she'll be back when she gets back. So that's the answer to that. And we did get one more there, Alan. It's from Steve right at the top.
Steve right at the top.
They are only children.
Yeah, they are only children. Thank you. They are only children. I was hoping you could elaborate on how 12 million illegal immigrants from the form the backbone of our country. I don't disagree, but like to hear your thoughts. I don't care about borders or governments. It jeopardizes children. They're the only hope we have to a promising future. And Steve said that. Anybody want to tackle that? Well, basically, the answer is the people who come in, and it bothers me a lot, often take jobs which nobody in America wants to take. And that, therefore, they are the backbone of our restaurants and our other industries.
Service industries.
What bothers me about that is they are often victimized as a result of that because they're easily blackmailable. People can say, you know, do what I want
or
take whatever I want or I put you on a plane.
And to Steve's point also that these are the, you know, going back to the Whitney Houston song, but, you know, children are our future. So if you have this many kids coming in and you're jeopardizing that future, it seems like that has to be addressed in some way that some kind of blanket legislation isn't necessarily going to do. But we're out of time for this break. When we come back, we will talk about a host of other issues. We have many, many other good things to talk about, and we will talk about them. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel for this Thursday, the 24th of July. Alan Chartok, Judy Patrick, Libby Post, Joe Donahue, and we welcome your calls. Or your
letters,
right? Don't call. for God's sake, don't call. We don't have a phone. We don't have anybody here. Don't call.
It is important when you send those letters to keep them very short because we want to get everybody in and we want to. You know.
Does that mean we have long ones?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Okay. And then I have to edit, and I don't like to do that. Okay. So.
Edit away.
Okay. Mexico is between Central America and the USA, and it is a large country. I understand Mexico has its own problems, but why aren't the children and some of the parents staying in Mexico if the reason for leaving their country is some form of abuse or persecution, I'm so sorry. There must be individuals in Mexico who are sensitive to the issues as there are in the USA, and there would be no language problem. Also, it is my understanding that Costa Rica is a calm country, as Belize, and Panama, all much closer than the USA. If the USA wants to close its border, then the president could send the troops which return from the Iran-Afghanistan wars to the border? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Governor Perry seems to have the right idea. Question mark, question mark. Okay, that's what it read. Okay, so Michael says, regular, I hope we're going to discuss Cuomo's staff interfering with an investigation into the governor. I would hope so, too. And we have been discussing it, Michael, and we will continue to.
All right, well, go ahead.
Okay, let's see here. Joan, if we sent our children to a foreign country on their own, wouldn't that be considered child abuse? Shouldn't the Mexican government contact these parents and hold them accountable?
Like these parents have phones. Yeah. I mean, come on, they're living in abject poverty.
Okay. And Ted says, correction, we, myself included, Americans, seem to get more outrage about the plight of people and children from other countries than we do about the plight of American children and people here, education, health, roads, and infrastructure, democracy, et cetera.
It's not a contest.
Why is that? Do we continue to address one without addressing the other? Okay, said Ted. So Gina says, morning all, why is no one addressing the elephant in the studio that would be the New York Times expose on Cuomo? Come on. I talked about
We spent all day yesterday talking about this issue.
We did yesterday. I did on my morning commentary. I mean, come on.
We did 40 minutes on this issue. But I was going to bring it up again because the story that broke yesterday, well, not broke, but the story came out in the New York Times yesterday. We talked about it for
ad nauseum.
For almost the length of the program yesterday.
We did.
What did happen yesterday is that Governor Cuomo came out with a 13-page response. And
they must have been working their little fannies off.
They must have known this was happening.
Oh, well, yes.
Yes, it's as if they knew it was happening.
It's amazing,
so,
isn't it?
The governor issued a 13-page response to the Times article that mainly elaborated on his earlier assertion that, quote, And I thought this was this was gutsy. It's my commission. I can't interfere with it because it's mine and it's controlled by me.
Listen, this is the biggest bunch of nonsense that ever happened. Here's why. The governor, in announcing the formation of the Moreland Act Commission, right? Did I say something wrong?
No.
No, the Moreland Act Commission said...
We were cheering you on.
Let them go wherever they want to go. Let them investigate me. Let me, the lieutenant governor, let them investigate these...
The attorney general, the controller, senator, any assemblyman.
Yeah. They said, and he was quite clear about that. It was going to be independent. It was not, the rest of this business about it's mine is nonsense.
It sounds like Leslie Gore. It's my party, and I will cry if I want to. It's my commission, and I'll do whatever I want.
Well, no.
But isn't that the whole rap on it?
No, yeah. I don't understand that.
I don't understand. Exactly. I don't understand that
as
your response.
Will kill politicians every time.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, the logic it does escape me. But, you know, I was kicking myself yesterday because I can remember when they announced this commission, and despite the fact that I've been in journalism for more than 30 years, and I should be a cynic. I said, "Oh, great! They're really going to take a stab at this, and they're really going to clean it up." He says we're going to do all this, and you know, he's giving them a lot of power. And then what happens? I get, you know, disillusioned once.
Well, I had Zephyr Teach out on the Capital Connection yesterday.
Oh
boy!
Let
me tell you something. This is one woman who is unafraid. She goes right for the gut, and tells it like she thinks it is.
So. Yeah. The New York Times does this major piece, and it's major. I mean, it's a lot of ink.
It was a lot of ink.
Two and a half full New York Times pages. Yeah.
It was huge and exhaustive.
Yes.
So, and then the day later, they write an editorial. They write an op-ed. And they say, one of the characters...
No, it's not an op-ed. It was an editorial.
Yes, I'm sorry. You're right.
Okay.
Yes, from the editorial board.
Yeah.
So the Preet Bharara, of course, the United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York, they say in their closing paragraph, it's not just Mr. Bharara's job to clean up Albany. It is up to the voters to decide whether to go on endorsing business as usual. As the indictments and embarrassments continue, 26 at latest count since 1999, New Yorkers will have to decide if their representatives are politicians they can trust, including Mr. Cuomo.
Well, I don't think there's any question about what they mean. You know, when Cuomo became the governor, he had a couple of narratives that he put out there, and one of them was cleaning up corruption in New York State. This doesn't pass the stink test. I don't know that it's illegal, but it doesn't pass the stink test. Will it interfere with his being reelected governor? Not at all. I don't think there's a chance in the world that's going to happen. But it doesn't pass the stink test, and I think it has undermined his credibility. Because one of the things that he's been sort of accused of is saying one thing and doing the opposite. And that's what's happened here. He said one thing. It's clear that you could put out 13 points or 15 points or 25 points. Nothing is going to make it go away that he said he was going to let that commission go wherever it wanted to, and he didn't let him.
So we talk about his political brilliance, if you will.
Brilliance.
So if, and this is to Judy's point, so you got a report that comes out and says that you have your fingers in a pie that you shouldn't have, and that you have control over something that you shouldn't have. And then your excuse, your defense in that is
the 2-year-old defense.
Right.
Is that
it's mine.
It's mine.
It's
and,
mine.
And why
mine.
Shouldn't I have
yeah.
my so
it's my pie.
Which is going more
stomping
to the point
your foot
of
on the floor.
Which is more to the point of, well, I have complete control, and I'm going to control whatever I want to control.
Yeah.
It didn't seem to help the case.
No, I don't know why they did it. You know,
I mean, you use the word arrogance, and I think that comes in
arrogance is one thing; stupidity is another.
Right. This was
right.
stupid.
Yeah.
This was stupid. This was a misstep that should never have taken place.
You can believe that there was chaos going on the second floor.
I'm sure.
And they were lining up their ducks. They were calling people to testify that it never happened who were on the commission But you know, Ken Lovett of the Daily News deserves a lot of credit here, because the Times did this wonderful story and really made it happen, because you look at the reaction. But Ken Lovett told us months ago that this was happening, and said that he had been told by members of the commission that the Cuomo people were calling in the plays and not letting them subpoena the people that they wanted to subpoena. And I had interviewed our wonderful district attorney here. I really love the guy.
David Soares.
Yeah, of course, David Soares in Albany. And he said the people on the commission would never stand for it. Would never stand for it, because these were all district attorneys and other people who had tremendous integrity. And we know he has it, because he took on Cuomo when it was, when the Occupy Albany people were there, and he stood right up to him.
You might want to have David back.
Oh, of course we will. We've had him many times, and we will continue to.
Well, to have a conversation about this, because did he get pressured?
The way that this thing got set up is very interesting, Libby. If I'm reading this correctly, their chief investigator was a person of great integrity. She was a person of great integrity. But the person who was nominally in charge was a Cuomo person that they had sort of put in there. And by the end, at least I read this today, they were not even
talking to each other.
And they were not even telling the Cuomo person what they were doing.
Because they wanted to get a job done,
and
she was
and into all of this comes
way.
Preet Bharara, who has grabbed these files and is looking, perhaps, to see with the grand jury, perhaps, to see whether or not there has been any federal law broken. So, for example, I think what one has to worry about if one is on Team Cuomo is whether or not, for example, one of the things that happened was that they looked at this advertising agency that bought ads. Now, Libby, this is something you know about. The question was, they were also buying ads for Cuomo, but they were also buying ads for the state.
State committee, right.
So was there a quid pro quo here, which is there's where you get into trouble.
Can I read a line from the from the editorial? And it struck me, and I just want you to comment on it, because it's about Preet Bharara and about, so assuming that perhaps federal charges could come out of this. The last line before the final paragraph: Mr. Cuomo's administration should make sure it has turned over every document relating to the Moreland fiasco to Preet Bharara.
That's right.
Now, what do you think they know
that
there has not, that there is material that has not been turned over?
What did you know, and when did you know it? And that has been the basis of virtually everything from Watergate, on down.
Every scandal.
Did you lie? When they asked you for everything, did you give them everything? You know, Preet Bharara is a great guy, I think, and you remember where he came from? He was the chief of Chuck Schumer's office. Remember that? Chief of staff, I believe, in Chuck Schumer's office.
So
I'm not going to say one more word.
We can just all connect the dots.
So the question, one of the questions now is what do the voters think? And there was a poll earlier in this week. Cuomo's still very
36
popular.
Points.
Let's do a poll. I'm anxious to see the next poll that comes out to see if this has any impact at all.
And how much political hay can both Astorino and Zephyr Teachout make out of this in the next few weeks?
Well, the pollsters are interesting, because I asked Zephyr Teachout about this yesterday. For those of you who are not familiar with her name, and I wouldn't be surprised, she's running against Cuomo in a Democratic primary.
A Fordham Law professor.
Yes, brilliant. And she got, and by the way, there's going to be a book coming out of this, I am sure. So there were 40,000 signatures. So the Cuomo people, in order to get her off, would have to disqualify a lot of signatures in order to do it. It wouldn't look good. Once again, it would be a big mistake in my. She says that they're trying to do it based on her, where she lives. Because at one point she sent something in from her mother's address or something like that. And so that is what they may be trying to do now.
It's stupid. Anytime you try to knock somebody off the ballot, unless it's so egregious, like they don't have enough signatures or they,
Middle
you
names.
Know, that kind of thing, you know, it makes you as the candidate look bad. mm-hmm. because it makes you, as the candidate, look like you don't believe in the democratic process of free elections.
But of course, if they try it and it doesn't work,
then they look even worse.
Then they're going to give her a lot of publicity that she may not.
That's
have
right,
gotten
right, and she'll be the underdog.
And she was also, I thought, was very smart in the very beginning, saying, "Look, they're going to challenge these petitions. I want four times what I need because they're going to be taking me out, and they don't want me on the ballot. Mm-hmm. They're going to do whatever they can, and if they play into that."
Well, they've got
into that scenario.
And they've got some hardball hitters. Mm-hmm. One is a guy I worked with years ago, Larry Schwartz, who was the secretary or top man to the governor.
Right. He's mentioned.
He's mentioned in the Times article, but the New York Times, being what it is, called him Lawrence Schwartz. I love that.
His closest aide, as they refer to him here, called the commission co-chairman and demanded he pull it back.
Unfortunately,
the commission rescinded the subpoena and only reissued it weeks later.
I just want to go back to the quid pro quo that you talked about for the media buying firm. You know, I wonder who also placed, if that firm also placed the media for the committee for a better New York.
Right.
You know, plus Andrew's campaign committee, plus the state Democratic committee. And, you know, I can almost guarantee you that the quid pro quo was not, we'll give you this business and you place these ads for us for free, because that then the firm would be out of business, because mm-hmm. you can't take on that kind of debt. But it could very well be they look at the billings and see that
they got a break,
because usually you get 15% and you can make a nice profit.
Well, but if you get enough 15% on one side, then you don't need the 15% on the other.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see, if they ever get those billings, to see how that worked out. And that could be. But that's also whose fault, who's liable for that? Is that a business decision?
I want to point out that Dick Nixon,
who's not around to kick anymore.
No, but you'll remember that Watergate broke before that election, election.
And he got reelected.
Didn't hurt him at all.
No.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC comes from Bethel Woods Center for the Arts, presenting the reggae band The Wailers Legend Tour 2014 in concert at the Event Gallery. Friday, December 5th at 8 p.m., bethelwoodscenter.org. Ward's Nursery and Garden Center, Great Barrington, for summer, water garden flowers, long-blooming perennials or annuals, patio containers, tools, garden furniture, and pest solutions. wardsnursery.com. And MKC Kitchen and Bath Center, Troy, offering a range of cabinetry, including showplace wood products, countertops, design services, and showroom. MKCKitchens.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and our panel. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. Just a quick reminder, you can also comment on our webpage or Facebook page or tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. And we have these letters.
Yes, we do, Joe. I'm so glad you mentioned that. Okay, so Judy says, as you read other letters, I am thinking of all the children worldwide who are in as great a need of immigrating to the United States as those from Central America and Honduras in particular, children in Syria, many countries in Africa, and many others who find themselves in war-torn areas or in the hands of terrorists. Let's not forget them in this discussion, said Judy. And David says, it's not coming up, so I don't know what he says. All right. And Rick says, earlier this morning on NPR, the demographics of the, quote, children reported 70% are age 14 and older. Also, many have gang tattoos. These are not helpless primary school children.
Kids.
You see anything else, Joe?
I do.
Okay, you're the enforcer here.
Did you see the one, if we send our children to a foreign country, on their own, wouldn't that be considered child abuse?
Yeah, we read that already.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, so we're good.
Howard, isn't it true that violence in Honduras, Guatemala, et cetera, is mostly gang culture violence, and that those gangs were, in fact, USA gangs that we deported back there after the members were arrested, released from prison here in U.S.? So we got rid of those, quote, problem people, and now we're reaping what we sow. I guess that's it.
Okay, so we want to move on real quick. We only have about 5 minutes, 4 minutes actually.
Oh boy.
So we'll try to get to our final issue here. And I'm trying to think of the best.
Well, and in the meantime, a big shout out to Judy's mom, who watches her on video from here.
On her computer, she watches WAMC.org, and she can see me. So at least somebody is out there.
Yeah, so
worried about whether
be,
you can see my face.
Did she
camera.
Tell you to wear the green dress?
She does not tell me what to wear
okay,
anymore.
All right.
anymore. Do we care about Senator John Walsh, Democrat of Montana, plagiarized a substantial portion of his final thesis at the United States Army War College?
And he blamed PTSD. I saw that headline this morning.
Well, you can blame anything you want. It's just not a good thing.
No,
and a lot of politicians have gotten into trouble for it.
Well, including our vice president, correct?
Yeah, she did. He did.
So, but does it stand, and is it an
Well,
issue?
He was losing anyway.
Yeah,
he's going to lose big.
Right.
Okay, so...
But pure sloppiness, no excuse for it, although there were plenty of excuses offered.
Yeah, I mean, come on, give me a break,
Some people survive, some people don't. Our very good friend, who we love so much, Doris Kearns Goodwin, some of our interns got a couple of things wrong and that weren't properly footnoted, and her enemies tried to do her in, and they didn't succeed at all, which was good. We were all delighted.
Right, right. But she has plenty of other...
Oh, yes, of course.
To other...
Why would she do that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, Greg Ball got in trouble for it too, this year.
Yeah. Well, so, good.
The state senator.
All right. I don't want to start like a major story because we only have about a minute. All right. So I'll go around. Anybody have any final thoughts?
Yes. Okay. Everybody should have a good day. Don't step in puddles, and don't eat fried food, and don't talk about plagiarism, don't eat fried food, and don't go in an Italian sports car.
Okay. Judy Patrick.
Hey, if you're going to write, it's true, write original content, don't cut and paste anything, even if you want to use it for reference.
Love you, Post.
I got a new toy, which I'm very happy about.
Yes, it's a new tablet. It's a mini
tablet. A mini tablet.
But you still have your big tablet.
But I still have a big tablet.
Are you going to have both?
Yeah, I just, somebody's...
Would you rather have a tablet or a little computer?
They gave this to me. My phone company did. I have a tablet that is a little computer because I have...
Can you write columns and things on that?
Yes, because I have a keyboard. But other than that, I just wish everyone would have a good day.
All right. Excellent. We all wish you a wonderful day. We welcome you to contribute anything you would like to our email.
Discourse.
Yeah, there
and
you
it
go.
It goes right up on the page.
Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and you can comment, yes, on our webpage or our Facebook page or tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. We will continue the roundtable after this short break.